Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am so grateful to be in the land of the living, that I can continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I pray that you are just as excited as I am about being in the family of faith, being here yet another day to tell somebody about Jesus Christ and how he has been so good in your life, that you would be a living, breathing, walking testimony for someone to come to know Jesus as you have come to know Jesus. Hallelujah and praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Thank you for being faithful to this broadcast, to this ministry, Mission from the Heart, and most of all, your faithfulness to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Well, I hope you've come prepared in your heart and come prepared in your soul with your Bible, ready to continue to walk through the pages of God's holy word concerning our teaching lesson, this particular series, Tunnel Vision versus Panoramic Vision. Now, if you've had an opportunity to listen to the first two parts of this series, then praise the Lord, because you are right on time with our part three teaching series of this. And we're going to complete our part two concerning faith, and then we're going to move right into part three of this teaching series, Promise. So before I start, I want to lift up a prayer of worship to our God, our Lord and Savior. And so if you would bow your head with me and touch and agree, brothers and sisters, and for you who are listening for the first time to this broadcast ministry, I just pray that you would pray with us as we lift up a prayer of worship to our Lord and Savior. So let's just bow our head and prepare our hearts in prayer. Father God, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please give us this day our daily bread, as we lift up holy hands toward you, receiving the blessings that you have already prepared for us to receive. Lord, you know our shortcomings, you know our failures, you know our weaknesses, and you know our strengths. We draw in to you, we lean and press into you for strength, for focus. We press in to you for faith, and we press in to you concerning your promises. Lord, as we seek your word today, moving through the pages of your holy word, breathe upon each listener today. Breathe upon me as well as those within our family, that they would come to know you in the pardoning of their sin, that they would bow down and worship you with spirit, in their spirit and in truth. Lord, transform their minds. Create in us a clean and pure heart, that we would exalt you, glorify you, and worship you. For this is our prayer today. And we just thank you for what you've already done in this broadcast, in each person who's listening, in their lives, in their families' lives, Lord God, as well as through your word. We thank you for what you're doing right now, blessing us abundantly, pressed down, good measure, shaken together, and running over in blessings. And Lord, we thank you for your promises, your future blessings, the promises that you have given us through the Word of God. And we just stand on every promise. We stand on every word. And we just believe by faith that you are preparing a place for us not made by hands of man. Lord, I pray for the one that has not accepted you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, transform their heart. Fall fresh upon them, that they would receive you in newness of life by faith, that they would cry out to you, surrender all that they have with inside themselves, and that they would accept your Son, Jesus, who died on that cross for their sin, that they would believe by faith, that they would receive your grace of salvation, and that they would run and tell somebody that they are now a new creature, that they would be baptized by submersion of water, and that they would get into a good Bible teaching church, a small group, that they would be baptized and discipled so that they would grow and go in faith. Lord, we exalt you and we thank you. These are our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So let's just move right into the lesson. And before we start the lesson, I want you to listen to the question that I've asked on every series of this particular teaching track, tunnel vision versus panoramic vision. Now, here's the question. Do you have tunnel vision or panoramic vision? Now, this question has been consistent and asked for each part of this series. Now, of course, this is a question for you. Do you have tunnel vision or panoramic vision? Now, if you're not sure what the two mean, then I encourage you to listen to the first teaching series or teaching track, part one and part two. But the question continues to be asked, do you have tunnel vision or panoramic vision? Now, all believers can trust in the promises of God, not the promises of leaders of the world. Think about it this way. Our focus, faith, and promises remain in Christ through many ways. When believers exercise their spiritual gifts in service to others, devotion and prayer with God, in Bible study, and sharing the gospel with others, this is how our focus, faith, and the promises of God remain in believers. Tunnel vision in these areas keep our faith, focus, and promises of God in perspective. On the other hand, panoramic vision creates broken promises due to doubt, insecurities, fear, worry, depression, stress, and yes, eventually death. So I'm going to conclude and pick back up with our second point, finishing that, and then conclude with our third point being promise. Now, the points of this particular teaching track have been focus, as I mentioned in the intro, focus, faith, and last, promise. And as I've indicated, tunnel vision is the tendency to focus exclusively on a single or limited goal or point of view, focusing on a singular person or limited goal, tunnel vision. Panoramic vision, on the other hand, is vision that has a broader view. You see a lot more in a panoramic vision. But to illustrate these two particular types of vision, tunnel vision is like a horse with blinders, where the blinders keep his focus straight ahead, that he can totally hear and be in submission of the person who is guiding the horse, riding the horse, or riding in the buggy that the horse is pulling. And the blinders are to keep the horse from being distracted. And that's the same purpose for us, to remain focused on Christ Jesus, on the Word of God, to not get distracted. On the other hand, panoramic vision is what causes distraction. It creates promises that aren't kept in the world by focusing our attention on world leaders, and they bring about promises that they cannot keep. And so because we see so much in the panoramic vision, it creates a lot of other problems with inside the person who continues to look through the panoramic window or vision. Tunnel vision, you stay focused, you stay faithful, and you stand on the promises of God. Panoramic vision, you have leaders that do not demonstrate or exemplify a promise or a focus that is structured, that is trusting. It is wavering. It's a focus that is self-centered on themselves. It's a focus of arrogance. It's a focus of me, myself, and I, just looking through the panoramic window. And then it's a faith that is wavering. It's a faith that is not solid. It's a faith in things that do not give you promises of eternal. Faith in the judicial system. Faith in mere men. So these are the things that are created in that panoramic vision when you see too much. And so now as I bring it home or to the end of this particular series, we're going to pick back up with faith. And as I left off on part two, I left off with faith, and I want to conclude this particular part in looking at Scripture. Now, as I indicated on the last series of this of the last part two of this series, we were focusing on how faith through tunnel vision was a faith that is to stay steadfast, and it's to stay steadfast because of the Lord. It's a faith that David exemplified as we looked at King David in the scriptures in 2 Samuel. And we saw how David asked or inquired of the Lord. He inquired of him before he took matters in his own hands. He wanted to make sure that God was his focus so that he could be in obedience to what God was going to do concerning this particular situation that David was in. Now, my point in showing us how David, a man after God's own heart, he exemplified having faith in God totally. And even as he ran from Saul as a young man, And now that he's become king and he's having to be a warrior, a fighter, a soldier against the Philistines, he still inquired of God before he took matters in his own hand or moved prematurely. Now, this is the type of sure-footed, steadfast faith that we as believers in Christ Jesus are to have, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of our situation or the condition that we may be in physically. We are to maintain a unmovable faith. And even if your faith is the size of the seed of a mustard seed, little faith, you can exercise or stretch your faith by believing in God's promises. And so we looked at some scripture concerning faith in Romans 10:17, and of course it tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And then we looked at Hebrew, and we understood that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We saw how Joshua exercised his faith, and he also inquired of God before he had to take on this major challenge in his life concerning claiming the land. And God instructed him to have courage, to take courage. And for you to take courage, you have to exercise your faith in who? God, in God alone. And then we looked at 2 Timothy. And that was 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. So as we moved through these scriptures to show how important faith is to a believer in Christ Jesus. Now, you can have faith through the panoramic vision, but that faith is not a steadfast faith. That faith causes us to stumble. That type of faith causes us to believe in things that are not real or true. That type of faith causes us to be uncertain, unsure. And then eventually, that type of faith through the panoramic vision will eventually lead to death. I like to look at it this way. Tunnel vision is the straight and narrow road. Panoramic vision is the wide road of destruction. Very simply put, concerning scripture, that the straight and narrow road is tunnel vision. Concerning our faith, and most are in the panoramic vision, the wide road of destruction. And as we moved through the scripture to show how great our faithfulness is in God and God alone, we saw that in Lamentations 3:22-25. Great is your faithfulness. And it indicated that we are to wait quietly and patiently on the Lord. So it doesn't matter your circumstance. It doesn't matter the condition you may be in. It doesn't matter with what you're going through or what you just came out of or what you're about to face or what you may be short in or if the children are being unruly or defiant or maybe about the spouse that is not willing to share your faith and your faith in Jesus Christ. We as believers in Christ Jesus are to remain faithful to God and wait patiently on him until the time is right. It's not according to our time, but God's time, who is perfect. His time is perfect. And so we looked at that in Lamentations. And now I want us to look at faith in some more scriptures that solidify how we are to stay steadfast and unmovable in our faith concerning God Almighty. Now, if you would walk with me in Scripture, and we're going to look at how faith in Hebrew 4. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4. And then we're going to start, I'll start with verse 15. So Hebrews 4, verse 15. And it reads this way. Now this is concerning faith. And I'll read this in the NIV or the New International Version. And what I'll do is I'll start with verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to the help us in our time of need. And that's what lets us know how important it is for us to remain faithful. Remain faithful in God. Jesus is our high priest, and we are to hold firmly to the faith we profess. So if your situation may be a spouse who does not hold to your faith in Jesus Christ, don't give up on that one. Do not give up on her or him. Be in continual prayer for that spouse that may not want to go to church, that may not want to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Hold firm and fast to your faith. For the child that may be wayward, that may not follow or obey your instruction, do not give up on that child. Continue to lift him or her up in prayer, that that child would receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior as well. No matter the circumstance, whether it be short on finances, do not give up, do not buckle, do not fall into temptation. For Jesus will lead us not into temptation. He will deliver us from the evil one. But our faith has got to remain strong and firm according to this particular passage in Hebrews. Let me read it again, but this time I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, starting with 14. This is Hebrews 4, verse 14. That is why we have a great high priest who has gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us cling to him and never stop trusting him. Amen. never stop trusting him. That demonstrates great faith when you never stop trusting him. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. So this is encouraging to us. Jesus Christ himself was tempted by Satan, and he threw the word of God back at him, for it is written. And this is what we are to do as believers in Christ Jesus. When we are in situations that look a little shallow, they appear to be a little fearful, or we are just not sure how or what we are to do, we are to stop, drop, and pray. This is what we are to do as believers in Christ Jesus. We do not have to be puppets on a string to sin. We are stronger than that. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And we are to, again, never stop trusting him. Verse 16, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. Grace to help us when we need it. Our God is gracious to us. He wakes us up every single morning according to his will. And he breathes in our lungs every breath that comes in and out of our nostril. That is the kind of grace that we sustain from a God who allows us to just wake up and breathe, or even breathe through our sleep. It's that serious, that type of love from a God who allows us to breathe on earth. And I want to express it in that manner and very simplistic so that we can understand how gracious we should be, how thankful we should be, and how trusting we should be concerning God the Father. So let's look at, again, faith in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Now, this kind of faith will never fail you. On the opposite side of this type of faith, of course, is the faith through the panoramic window. And that type of faith will always be a faith that Satan wants you to have in him. He's the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. He's a deceiver, and he is trying to deceive every one of God's children. But when we exercise faith and we exercise focus, then the promises of God are confident. We can bank on it, take it to the bank. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And I hope you're writing these passages down for further study, because this is the richness of the Word of God. This is what strengthens and grows our faith. This is what deepens our walk and our relationship with God, is in the Word of God. This is our spiritual food for the soul, that we will not grow weary in well-doing, because in due season we shall reap, according to Galatians. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. 2 Corinthians 12, and we're going to start with verse 9. But he said to me, now of course, this is Paul, and he's saying here in verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Now, this is Paul asking God to take a thorn in the flesh. He asked three times concerning this thorn. Now, we don't know what this particular infirmity was concerning Paul, but it was enough for him to ask God three times if he would take it away. And the Lord said to Paul, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. And let me read this in the New Living Translation, verse 9. Each time he said, my graciousness favor, or my gracious favor is all you need. So even though you may be in pain physically, or you may be in pain mentally, spiritually, pain hurts. I experience arthritic pain, and it becomes so excruciating at times to where I just want to sit and not move. But of course, the offset to arthritic pain, the medicine to arthritic pain in the body or the joints, is movement. You keep moving. You stretch, you exercise, you walk, you just move. Well, the pain doesn't go away, but it does help soothe it when you move and exercise and just don't sit. I can pray to God and ask him to remove this pain that is very painful in the body. But according to his will, just as Paul asked three times, God said no. And I can ask three or more times, and God can still say no to me. But does that stop the movement of God's work in and through me? No. That's the encouragement. In our weakness, we are made strong. Strong through his strength, God's strength. We draw into his strength. Then we are strong enough to continue the work and the mission and the ministry of the gospel. We don't give up because of pain or too weak or not physically ready or encouraged to do the work of Jesus Christ. We go on anyhow. And in his strength, we become stronger. Yes, we are weak, but when we pray, when we understand and draw into the Word of God, and we saturate ourselves with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we worship one with another, and we study to show thyself approved unto God, somehow or another, the pain is not priority on your list. So the Word of God becomes stronger, that it draws us to move stronger regardless of our weakness. So we're not focused on our weakness. We're focused on God's strength that propels us to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to serve others, to share the gospel, to be in prayer and devotion with God, to not give up on what we do in Christ Jesus. This is what Paul was expressing. And God said, my gracious favor is all you need. That's all we need. All we need is God. My power works best in your weakness. Amen. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me. This is what God wants us to understand, is that we not focus on the panoramic or in the panoramic vision, which causes us to focus on pain, causes us to not want to move. It causes us to want to sit, soak, and sour. We are to look through the tunnel vision and focus on Jesus Christ, where we draw strength, and his strength is in us. And then we continue to move. We continue to pray. We continue to read the Word of God. We continue to serve others. We continue to love our neighbor. We continue to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus, is what Paul was wanting the church of Corinth to understand. So in our weakness, we are made strong so that the power of Christ may work through us, that we not boast about ourselves as they do in the panoramic window, but we boast about Jesus Christ because we know we are weak. And without him, we are nothing. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 28. And that's in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 28. And we're still looking at scripture that solidifies our faith, and how Joshua had to have his faith stretched by taking courage. King David, who was a man after God's own heart, had his faith stretched and tested by God, and he wanted God to go before him. He always inquired of God, and how scripture tells us that we are to hold fast in our faith concerning God. 1 Chronicles 28, and we're going to read verse 20. David also said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous. Now, this is King David talking to his son Solomon. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. Amen. Now here's a father, a king, encouraging his son, Solomon. And of course we know when King David died, the throne was passed off to Solomon, and he became king. But here's David, a man after God's own heart, who had challenges in his life. Yes, he did. But Scripture tells us that he was a man after God's own heart, that he stayed focused on God, that his faith was strong and sure-footed, steadfast in God, and he knew the promises of God. And when he passed his kingship to his son, Solomon, this is what he told him: be strong and courageous and do the work. Now that's encouraging to us. It should be to you, because we are to be strong. That means draw into God's strength. The Word of God gives us the strength that we need when we read. And then to be courageous. Don't cower back. You are the earthen vessel of God, and you surrender your life to Him, that the work of God would come in and out and through you, that others may see your courage. Being courageous in Christ. Not in self, not in a world's view, but courageous in Christ strengthens us to do the work that God has set before us. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Well, Satan wants us to be afraid. Remember, through the panoramic window, I indicated that the panoramic window creates broken promises due to doubt, insecurities, worry, fear, depression, stress. All of that causes us to not move, causes failure instead of faith. Stagnation. Complacency. And then it says in this particular verse, do not be afraid or discouraged, because for the Lord God, my God, is with you, is what David told his son. You are going to be up against some challenges. You are taking on my kingship after I pass away and be with the Lord. Now it's your responsibility, son, to be strong and courageous. Don't back down. Don't cower back. Don't be in fear. Draw on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Pray to God. Worship the God. Worship God. And remember His promises. For the Lord God, and He says, my God. Son, you know my God, Yahweh, Jehovah, is with you always. God is with us always, regardless of the marriage, regardless of the children, regardless of the short finances, regardless of the car that needs repairs, regardless of the boss that seems to be riding you, regardless of the friend that backstabbed, regardless of the neighbor that won't speak to you, regardless, be strong in the Lord. Be courageous and loving in the Lord. Do not be afraid. Don't get discouraged. Have faith. And always remember, He promised to be with you. And then he says, and then it says, he will not fail you. or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." Now, there had to be some work. David was letting his son know that you've got a great assignment before you, and God is going to provide everything you need. And he's going to make provision for you. He's going to send you the help that is needed. So that's encouraging to me as well as you. Regardless of what's short, regardless where there is lack, God already knows. He promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and that the provision that is needed for bills to be paid, for things to be paid off, for things to happen, for health to be repaired, for minds to be restored, for relationships to be mended, he has already provided that for your circumstance, for your situation. But you gotta have faith and believe on every promise in the Word of God. He has a great work for you. If you don't know what the work is, then I encourage you to stop, drop, and pray and ask God to reveal to you the work that he has for you. Don't tell him what you want to do. Just surrender your life to him, and he will show you what he has purposed for you to do. So many brothers and sisters want to do ministry, but they want to do the ministry that they want to do, that's comfortable for them. But God has a great work for every one of us, and it's fulfilling, and it's worth it, challenging, but it's worth it. So this is David expressing to his son how not to be afraid, but be encouraged because of the size of the task that he has before him. And God will not fail us. He's going to be with us through every journey. Lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, God, and he will direct your path. Acknowledge him. How do we acknowledge God? We just tell him who he is. You are God. You are omniscient. You are omnipotent. God is a big God. You are mighty. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You are Jehovah God, Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. This is the God that we worship, telling him who he is. This is what builds faith. This is what solidifies our faith when we cry out to him in worship. Lastly, we will look at Proverbs 15, verse 22. Now, we're concluding point two with faith. And this is such an important area of our life as a believer in Christ Jesus. Because remember, the only way that we come into heaven is through Jesus Christ. And the way we get to Jesus Christ is by faith. And remember, faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So if we've never seen Jesus in physical form, then we are required by God to believe by faith that Jesus died on the cross for you and me. He died on the cross. He hung, bled, and died. They hung him. They stretched him wide. He died on that cross, on that old rugged cross. He died a sinner's death. And he was a man who committed no sin. And they crucified him on that cross. They spit on him. They pierced him in the side. His flesh was just hanging off of his body. They mocked him and they made him carry a cross up Calvary's hill, Golgotha, meaning the hill of skulls. And he died on that cross for you and me. He was the perfect sacrificial lamb. And although we have never seen Jesus Christ in human form, we believe by faith that he died, he was buried, and he resurrected. By faith, we believe. And we are saved by God's amazing grace. This we believe, and that's faith in Jesus Christ that gained us the promises of God. He told Abraham when he was called by God, he was called Abram. God changed his name to Abraham. And he told him that your descendants would be as many as the grains of sand along the seashore, as many as the stars are in the sky. That's a lot of descendants. Now, did Abraham live to see you and me? No, he did not. But he believed by faith that God's promise are true. So he walked. He moved. He obeyed and he believed a God that he's never seen. But he trusted his promises, and he obeyed. There's no other way but to trust and obey. And Abraham did that, as well as so many others in Scripture. But the principal teaching of this to us is we are to do the same thing as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, and Jesus Christ. Jesus obeyed his Father. He trusted his Father. He carried out the will of his Father. So faith is so important for us as believers to understand that we never lose our faith in Christ Jesus. So Proverbs 15:22, if you would turn over, still in the Old Testament, 15, and we're going to read verse 22. plans fail for lack of counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Listen to it in the New Living Translation. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many counselors bring success. So what does this mean? This means that when we view through the panoramic window, we have tendencies to see so much through the panoramic window that the Lord shows us how we can be fumbling around and running over here and over there for advice and counsel from the wrong people. Or we may think we're doing something right, but we don't ask of God. We don't take it to the Lord in prayer. And that's through the panoramic vision. But when we're in tunnel vision, we take it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus is our high priest. And when we take concerns to the Lord in prayer, the Holy Spirit will lead us and he will reveal to us through the Word of God. Maybe a brother or sister will send a word to us and confirm what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us. So plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many counselors bring success. Verse 21, foolishness brings joy to those who have no sense. A sensible person stays on the right path. So through the panoramic is the world of foolishness because we put our focus in leaders who are self-centered, prideful, arrogant, and then we put our faith in a judicial system that takes matters in their own hands, and then through the panoramic vision, we put our promises on the failures of man, and those promises are broken promises that do not stand firm, they're not solid, they're broken, they're fake, easily broken. But the tunnel vision, on the other hand, our focus is in Jesus, who's our shepherd, the high priest. He's our guide, our healer, our safety, our protector, our provider. He's our redeemer. And then our faith in him is true. It seeks God first. It's total focus. Our faith becomes light because we are placing it in God first. We want him to go before us. We want God to instruct us by way of the Holy Spirit. We are aligned with God in our faith. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. How do we hear the word of God? We hear the word of God through reading our scriptures just as we are now. We hear the word of God through praise and worship music. We hear the word of God through attending church services from the sermons on Sunday or Sunday school, and we hear the word of God by way of the Holy Spirit revealing to us, comforting us, showing us, leading us, and guiding us. That is the tunnel vision concerning faith. Now, this is going to take us into our last point. I did not want to just rake over the grass concerning point two, faith, because faith is what it takes for us to enter in to the throne room of God, to come to the grace of God or the throne of God with boldness. We come humbly as we know how by faith. And faith is what we need to know that it is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so we maintain our faith, our focus, and promises. We remain in Christ Jesus. No demon in hell should be able to shake or rattle or take our faith away from us. But if you're weak and on milk of the word, then it is your responsibility to eat more of the word of God, the bread of life. Drink the living water daily. And your faith will be stretched, your courage will be strong, and you will not fear mere men, you will not fear what may be happening in the world today because of the promises of God. Remember David when he told his son to be strong. This is what God is wanting us to be. Strong in him, not in ourselves, because he's always with us. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, oh, they fade away. But the very living word of God will remain forever and ever. We will pick up the conclusion of this teaching series, Tunnel Vision versus Panoramic Vision. And we will focus primarily on the last point, and that is promise. God bless you, and thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio.